The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went off to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or of Tiberias, and a large crowd followed him, impressed by the signs he gave by curing the sick. Jesus climbed the hillside and sat down there with his disciples. It was shortly before the Jewish feast of Passover. Looking up, Jesus saw the crowds approaching and said to Philip, "Where can we buy some bread for these people to eat?" He only said this to test Philip. He himself knew exactly what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii would only buy enough to give them a small piece each." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a small boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What is that between so many?" Jesus said to them, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass there, and as many as 5,000 men sat down. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and gave them out to all who were sitting ready. He then did the same with the fish, giving out as much as he wanted. When they had eaten enough, he said to the disciples, "Pick up the pieces left over, so that nothing gets wasted." So they picked them up and filled 12 hampers with scraps left over from the meal of 5 barley loaves. The people, seeing this sign that he had given, said, "This really is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, who could see they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, escaped back to the hills by himself. The Gospel of the Lord. Those of you that know me will know I don't use sat-nav. So road signs are very important. I've got a good sense of direction. I always say I'm very difficult to lose. But no matter how unfamiliar places are, signs we do need. And of course, if new roads come in, bypasses are built, changes go on, we need those signs. What struck me this year, more than other years particularly, is that the luxurious growth around some of the signs obscured quite a lot of the signs. And it was only when you got near to them, almost you were level with them, you could see if you were meant to turn off to the left, if it was something like a roundabout or something. So they weren't as helpful as they used to be or might have been. But signs, or a sign, appear more than once in the Gospel today. We've moved from Mark for the next 5 Sundays, except in the middle of it we get the Assumption, but that's just an aside. But we've got 5 weeks from St. John. In St. Mark's Gospel, because we're in the year of Mark, we reach the very point that we've just heard that same story, the feeding of the 5,000. That's the only miracle common to all 4 Gospels. So it's obviously saying this is something important, this is something you mustn't miss, this feeding miracle. But John follows it with a controversy and a saying. So, as I say, that'll be unpacked the next few weeks, apart from the Assumption. In the New Testament, there are 3 principal words for miracles. There's powers or mighty works, there's wonders, and there's signs. And the miracles of Jesus are never mere wonders. They weren't done just as a wonder worker. It wasn't to say, "Look how wonderful I am." Not at all. They're only signs that point to who is this. And only to those who have eyes to see, those to whom it is given to understand the mysteries of who Jesus is. And so for the rest, whether that be first century Pharisees or the common people, whether it be 21st century skeptics, they're mere wonders to them. And Jesus doesn't expect or desire such people to be impressed by them. They will only have meaning for those whose eyes have been opened to the truth of Jesus' person. And that's why John and the other gospel writers are writing, that you may understand who this is. And it's why significance is always given in the Gospels when a blind man is healed of his sight, because he begins then to see deeper into who is this that's given him his sight. Sign is used 17 times by St. John in his Gospel and 60 times in the rest of the New Testament. But John has 7 signs. He only chooses 7, as it were, miracles. The others aren't there in his. But they all lead to controversies and discussions, and they all lead to a saying of Jesus, I am. That's the divine name. I am the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, those sort of things. The divine name. And John says, all these miracles are signs, and a sign points the way, shows you the direction you are to go. They were pointing to not just the human Jesus, but beyond it, to the divinity of who he said. And that couldn't be seen directly. In a way, like some of the signs that I drew up to, you couldn't always see the direction we're going, as it were. It was there, but it was slightly hidden. So it was with the signs. Some people couldn't quite see fully who this Jesus was. But just as with the road signs, you don't come up to the sign and then sit there in your car with all the queue behind you, not very happy, and think, I wonder which way we should go. Now, I can't see. We make a break. No. You get the sign, and you've got to move on. And that's what John's saying. You move on, but you may have a discussion about it and discover a bit more. But all the time, you're moving on to that deeper meaning. Because feeding the body just on the hillside was fine. But the deeper meaning is that spiritual feeding and coping with people's spiritual hungers. Because it's linked with the first reading, the 5 barley loaves were the loaves of poor people. And St. Bede saw this as an allegory. He said, the 5 loaves are the Torah. Those are the first 5 books of the Old Testament. That's, it were, the basis of Jewish religion. The 2 fish are the prophets and the Psalms. And the young boy is the Jewish people. And if you remember, at the end, they gather up 12 baskets full, the 12 tribes of Israel, going to be shadowed, of course, by the 12 disciples, prophets of the Lamb, apostles of the Lamb. And it says Jesus receives these gifts to open the deeper meaning. And when we bring up the bread and the wine, the prayer that I say, which if the hymns finish you here, and if it hasn't, I say it silently, but it says, the bread we have received, the wine we have received, because we're taking and doing what Jesus did. He received those gifts, but giving them deeper meaning and refresh the people, just as manna had fed them in the desert. So it's not just mighty works, miracles that unveil the glory and power of God working through Christ. And that's what St. John is saying. But before it, he adds another line. And that's why you need to take the reading away with you in your newsletter and keep reflecting over it. Because he said it was shortly before the Jewish feast of Passover. Now, the Passover is mentioned 3 times in John's Gospel, but only once in the other Gospels. But the first time is after the Cana of Galilee, the first sign that Jesus did. And it says after the first sign that his disciples began to believe in him. Then he goes to Jerusalem to cleanse the temple. And after it, it says this: many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he gave. But you see, the mention of the Passover is very important because that marks the annual celebration of the great Passover from Exodus, from Egypt, central to which is the meal, the Seder, where the story is told, the psalms are sung, the lamb is eaten, unleavened bread is broken, the wine is drunk. Jesus is going to give all this new meaning because Jesus is that true Lamb of God, which in John's Gospel has been revealed to us by John the Baptist, who says, "There is the Lamb of God." So Jesus gives all this new meaning because he's the true Lamb of God, whose redeeming work will accomplish a new deliverance from the slavery of sin in the sacramental and liturgical meal. So in this incident, the Passover is placed in the background. Just as an aside, it was shortly before Passover, not mentioned again. But the next Passover, which is the third one and his last one, it takes center stage because that's when he gathers with his disciples and shares that last meal with them. And what we know, of course, is on that Passover, the people that had been seeing these signs, maybe they saw them as wonders, powerful works, but not the real sign, who this really was. Because when they welcomed him on the Sunday, they cried, "Hosanna," that we sing in a few minutes. But within days, they were shouting, "Crucify." And the last thing, Jesus knew this time they wanted to take him by force and make him king. What the Jews were looking for was a militant Messiah who was going to free them from the Romans and rule. But the sign that Jesus is given, and it all comes when he's before Pilate, is that my kingdom is not of this world. It's a heavenly and spiritual kingdom. And my signs, as it were, are pointing to that. I can hear some of you holidaymakers all saying, "Oh, it's all a bit deep today, isn't it? I didn't think we were going to get all that." In a way, that's very true. You come to relax. But it's the heart of the faith. There it is, the center of the Catholic faith is the Mass. It's the Word of God we've opened, the Psalms we've sung, the Lamb of God that we receive, all those things coming together, centering on our faith. And the sign saying, "This indeed is the prophet who is to come into this world." For many of them that are not here, those that have stopped coming, those that have never even been, those that don't even know, they don't see it. But we see the sign, and I hope we realize this is our glorious God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who summons us here always to be with him.